Let's take our Bibles and turn to Psalm 95 this evening. Psalm 95. Psalm 95. Oh, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods, in whose hand are the depths of the earth. The peaks of the mountains are His also. The sea is His, for it was He who made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you would hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as in the days of Massa in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me. They tried me, though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who err in their heart, and they do not know my ways. Therefore I swore in my anger, truly, they shall not enter into my rest. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank You tonight for Your precious Word and for this call to us as Your people tonight to worship You. And we know as Your worshipers we are to worship You in spirit and in truth. So, Father, tonight we pray that as we look at this psalm that You would direct us, Holy Spirit, that You would anoint us and teach us the truths that You have for us here, that Your name be honored and glorified in our lives and in this, Your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Do you ever struggle with trusting God? Is unbelief a temptation for you? Perhaps along with me, you find yourself identifying with that father in Mark chapter 9 whose son had an unclean spirit the disciples were not able to cast out. And he said to Jesus, if you can do anything. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. And what was that father's response and the response that you and I perhaps often have as well? I do believe. Help thou my unbelief. Yes, we've all been there. And we need help, don't we, with trusting God, believing Him. What is it that will help us? What is it that will build us up in our most holy faith? This psalm, I believe, gives us much instruction toward that end. Because here in this psalm, we have, first of all, a call to worship. And then secondly, and I guess this is actually two sermons, we're not going to get to that second part much. We'll touch on it. But secondly, a stern warning. And I believe in both of these things that we see in this psalm, this call to worship and then this stern warning, we have much to help us to build us up in our faith. We have much here to help us to combat unbelief. We have the help needed to resist the temptation to doubt our great and gracious God. Come, let us worship and bow down. And as we heed that call to worship, you're going to see how that leads us to a faith that is strengthened to believe our God in an ever greater way. As we look at this psalm, if you're familiar with the New Testament, you'll realize that there's much to help us with Psalm 95 in the book of Hebrews, chapters 3 and 4. You might like to reference that later. We may reference a few verses later on in the message, but the writer to the Hebrews, in fact, quotes verbatim several verses here. Hebrews 3, 7 through 11 quotes word for word Psalm 95, the second part of verse 7 on through verse 11. And according to Hebrews, it is David who writes this psalm, and he writes it And as we can see through what the writer of the Hebrews tells us, in view of the coming Messiah. And so we would look at this psalm as a, we could call it a gospel song, as others have. It's a gospel song. And the psalmist looks beyond, as we look at this psalm, we're looking beyond the rest of God's Old Testament people that would be found in Canaan in the Promised Land to the ultimate rest for God's people in the Messiah, the Deliverer promised, whom God would speak to us by His Son. First of all, a call to worship in those first five verses. Need your faith strengthened? Heed the call to worship. Come. Come. Let us sing. Let us shout. Let us come with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully with psalms, verses 1 and 2 tell us. It's as though the psalmist, he's calling the community together. He's summoning them. Why? To celebrate. Who? The Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah God, the covenant God of the Israelites, the God who is glorious in His faithfulness to His people. He's the God who created, He's the God who has rescued and redeemed His people. And it's interesting, as you look at that invitation, after the invitation to come, the grammatical structure there is indicating a command. God's people are commanded to sing. God's people are commanded to shout joyfully to their Lord, to extol the Lord, to give Him thanks. And that's a theme that we see throughout the Scriptures, don't we? Let's just take a little bit of a tour here in the Psalms and see some of the same theme that's brought out. If you want to flip through your Psalms with me a little bit, turn to Psalm 66. Back to Psalm 66 and note how this psalm begins. Psalm 66, the first two verses, very similar wording and theme to Psalm 95. Shout joyfully to God all the earth. Sing the glory of His name. Make His praise glorious. Psalm 81 in verse 1, just a few pages over. Sing for joy to God our strength. Shout joyfully to the God of Jacob. And then just beyond Psalm 95 to Psalm 96. Psalm 96. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Bless His name. Proclaim good tidings of His salvation from day to day. Psalm 98, beginning with verse 4. Shout joyfully to the Lord all the earth. Break forth and sing for joy and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of horn. So shout joyfully before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, Psalm 100, all ye lands. Over and over again, we're called to sing and to give praise and to extol our Lord. 1 Chronicles 16, you don't need to turn there. 1 Chronicles 16, 9 to 10. Sing to Him, sing praises to Him. Speak of all His wonders, glory in His holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. The Apostle John, you'll remember in that final book of the Bible, in the book of Revelation in chapter 19, John hears the multitude in heaven. And what are they saying? They're saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. They're singing, Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to Him. Amen? Amen. Give the glory to our Lord. Just hearing those words, these calls to worship, strengthens your faith, doesn't it? Indeed. It builds us up. To hear that, to respond to it. We should be stirred up and excited, and well, it should excite us as we remember then who God is and who we are. Who God is and who we are. You know, we may hear at times people complain about Christians or about worship services and church services. Oh, it's boring. It's dull. I see none of that in these Psalms. Do you? That should never be the case. That should never be the case. Our worship should be full of warmth and of life and sincerity and truth as we lift up and extol the name of our Lord. There should be reverence, and yet it should be joyous and celebrative. Look with me in this Psalm 95 at how we are to praise our God, first of all. How are we to praise our God? How many times do you see the word joy in Psalm 95 verses 1 and 2? Joy or joyfully. How many times there? About 6 times? Over and over again in the other Psalms we read as well. Joy. Sing for joy. Shout for joy. It's the whole idea of shouting for joy in triumph. Often, you know, Resurrection Sunday, that Easter Sunday, sometimes we'll especially focus in on the triumph of the tomb, but every Lord's Day is Easter Sunday, isn't it? And we shout for joy, we shout in triumph because the grave has been conquered by our Savior. Spiritual joy is the very heart and the soul of thankful praise. You know, that's kind of... It's not a good song, but it's that song that any kid learns to play on the piano, whether they've ever had piano lessons or not. Heart and soul, da-da-da-da, heart and soul. Remember that, though. The heart and soul, the heart and soul of thankful praise is spiritual joy. Joy in the Lord. Our God is infinitely holy, holy, holy. He's infinitely pure and perfect. We bow in reverence. And yet at the same time, we remember as we bow in reverence that we, if we are in Christ, if we've truly been born again of the Spirit of God, we bow in reverence and awe, but we also bow in joyful thanksgiving, knowing that we've been accepted in the Beloved. Accepted in the Beloved. And so we bow rejoicing in Him who is our Creator, our Father, our King. We're in covenant with Him and He with us through the blood of His dear Son. And so how do we come? We come with holy joy, with delight, with reverence, with awe, with deep humility. And as verse 6 says, let us worship and bow down and kneel before Him. We come kneeling before Him. I think probably in our tradition of worship, we've tended in recent years to perhaps neglect kneeling before the Lord. I remember as a kid growing up in the church on Wednesday night for prayer meeting, everybody knelt in prayer. We've sort of gotten away from that. But boy, when you start reading both Old and New Testaments, you see the saints of God kneeling before Him. We're to shout to Him, we're to sing to Him, we're to kneel before Him, we're to bow down. God certainly sees the attitude of the heart, and that's more important than the physical posture. Yet the physical communicates something, doesn't it? When we kneel, when we bow down, that communicates something. The nonverbal communication that we give to one another communicates a lot, and it communicates something with regards to our relationship with our Lord and our God as well. With our outward expressions, we're demonstrating the seriousness of our hearts and lives and the humility that we come before our God with. How are we to praise our God? First of all, with joy. Secondly, with humility. Third, we are to praise our God with our voice. With our voice. Right? Pastor Cook has taught us these many weeks on Sunday nights on redeeming the tongue. The tongue is redeemed so we can sing of our Redeemer, right? So we can speak of Him. We must speak forth His praise. Use your tongue, use your voice to praise Him. Wesley's hymn says, what? Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, to lift our voice to Him. Isaac Watts' hymn says, "Let those refuse to sing, let those refuse to sing who never knew our God. But children of the heavenly King may speak their joys abroad. We're to praise Him with our tongues, with our voices." Do you love the Lord tonight? Let your joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord and thus surround the throne as we're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Even in this toilsome pilgrim journey that we're in, we lift our voices in praise to our God, rejoicing in Him. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What is in your heart tonight? What's in my heart? Is there love there? Is there joy there? Thankfulness to the God of our salvation? Then that's what should come out. Has the greatness and power of God had an effect upon your life? Then declare it with your voice. Declare it with your voice. I think Jonathan Edwards said that it's a sin not to sing. We're commanded right here. It's a sin not to sing. And we should do our very best to learn to sing the best that we can. And we have a responsibility as moms and dads to teach our children to sing. We live in a society that increasingly does not sing. We listen to all sorts of stuff that's called music. That's debatable. But we don't sing. People used to sing more, but people don't even sing much anymore, just in our culture and society. But the people of God are characterized by singing, aren't they, according to the Word? And let us be those who sing to our God. We praise God with joy, with humility, with our voice. Fourth, we praise God with others. This isn't just something that I sing in the shower or I sing by myself when I'm off alone, but this is something I do with the brethren, with the saints of God, as I gather. It's so important. Verses 1, 2, and then again in verse 6, again and again, we read what? Let us. It doesn't say, let me sing, let me shout. It says, let us. It's collective. It's something we do together. God's people are in concert. Every Lord's Day, every opportunity we have to gather with the saints here, we're in concert with an audience of one. Together, lifting our voices to our King and our God. Now, there's a place in singing, as the New Testament instructs us in Colossians 3 and Ephesians 5, that we're singing and instructing one another with our psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, of course. And that's important as a part of our singing as well. But our singing is to be directed to God, to give Him praise. Singing that new song, the new song of salvation, for the Lord's redemptive work in our lives. We come together then before His presence. And we say with the 100th Psalm, I will enter His gates with thanksgiving. And I will enter His courts with praise. I will be thankful unto Him and bless His name. I will do that. And I will realize as I enter the very gates of the Lord into His very courts, just to know that I'm allowed to enter His very presence. That is great joy, isn't it? To think that when Christ died, that veil of the temple was rent in two from top to bottom, that we might enter into the very presence of God through His shed blood. We have every reason to sing and to shout and to give Him praise. Well, verses 1 and 2 tell us how we are to praise our God. And then in verses 3 through 5, we're instructed as to why. Why are we to praise Him? And I think this is, as we begin to look at these things and we begin to look at the reasons why we're to praise Him, this is going to strengthen your faith. And when you're going through those deep, dark times, when the trials come, and you're struggling with the pain of physical problems, you're struggling with the pain of family problems and other issues that come, you come back and you come to remember who your God is. And you come and you respond to the call to worship, to be with God's people. to lift your voices to Him and to be reminded of who your God is. And this is going to build you up in the faith, isn't it? And it does. And you've experienced that and you know that. And don't forget that. Why are we to praise Him? Because He is a great God. He's a great God. He is sovereign over all. He is great and greatly to be praised. You could look around the world, the time of the psalmist, New Testament times, and today, and you'll find all sorts of people worshiping all sorts of false gods. Right? Real or imagined. There are all kinds of them. But we worship the one true and living God. He is the great King. He alone rules over all His creation. It's interesting if you look at some of the gods, and even if you look back at the plagues of Egypt, all those plagues, as you'll recall, were sort of targeted at different gods of the Egyptians, weren't they? And usually false gods of various nations were supposed to have rule over different parts of creation. You know, there could be a god over the depths of the seas, a god over the mountains, a god over the sea, a god over the sun, and so on and so forth. But people of God, this evening, who is your God? He is the only true God who is over not just the seas, not just the mountains, not just the heavens, but over all. He's over all of these things. The God of Israel rules over all the world. He is the creator of all the universe, and thus He rules and reigns over it all. What does the psalmist tell us? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all them that dwell therein. Everything, everything is in His hands. It's a simple truth we learned in that old song. He's got the whole world in His hands. He does. Remember that. Bring yourself back to that fact. And be built up in your faith and strengthened. And remember then, too, that this psalm is what's been called a gospel song. We're looking ultimately to Jesus, the Messiah, the Deliverer. And we praise Him, our Savior, the Word made flesh, as Pastor Bart brought before us this morning from John chapter 1. The Word made flesh, who was with God in the beginning, who was and is God from eternity. Remember, as you read Psalm 95, 3 through 5, that all things came into being through Him, the Word, Jesus Christ. And apart from Him, nothing was made that has been made. Jesus is our great God, overall blessed forevermore. He is the great King above all gods, our mediator, and He is the one who reconciles and restores all things. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. If you would please, Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Colossians 1, 16. As we read here about the Lord Jesus, we read that for by Him, by Christ, all things were created both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. Verse 20, and through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Through Him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. This is our Savior, the Messiah, our Deliverer, our Redeemer, and it is to Him that we come to sing and to shout joyfully our hallelujahs, praising His name. To our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, all power is given in heaven and on earth. All things have been delivered into His hand, and before Him we must worship and bow down. Struggling with trusting God tonight? Respond to the call to worship. Sing. Say amen once in a while. Shout hallelujah. God has been good to us, hasn't He? Respond to our great and our holy God. Remember who He is and what He has done. And this will be great help for us when we are tempted to not trust Him and we're tempted to unbelief. This call to worship in Psalm 95 is renewed again in verse 6. We had it in verse 1. He comes back at it again, verse 6. And He says, come. Once again, it's imperative. Come. Let us worship and bow down. If you belong to the Lord, you must come. It's not an option. You must come. And your coming expresses your devotion, your adoration to your God. He is our God. He has dominion over us. And we are in a special relationship with Him, aren't we? If we're in Christ. Why has He by grace saved you if you've been saved tonight? Why were you elected to salvation, chosen in Him before the foundation of the world? Why? What's Ephesians tell us? To be what? To the praise of His glorious grace. That's it. That's your whole purpose. To be to the praise of His glorious grace. Why do we worship Him? Verse 7, for He is our God. Or it could even be rendered, truly He is our God. Truly He is our God. Our Creator, the Author, and the Finisher of our faith. And we kneel before Him. Idolaters kneel before gods that they make with their own hands. Christians kneel before the one only true God who made us and all that there is. And we are His, not our own. We belong to Him. So He is the rock of our salvation there in verse 1. Not only the founder of our salvation, but the very foundation. That rock is Christ. And so on Christ, what? The solid rock, I will what? Stand. All other ground is sinking sand, and my faith is strengthened and built up as I do that. And on Christ the solid rock, and to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, we will sing, worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. To whom do you bow down? Come, let us worship and bow down. To whom do you bow down? Who do you bow your knee to give your life to give your time to? If you belong to Christ, Scripture's clear, we are His people, the sheep of His pasture, the sheep of His hand. Are you His tonight? Praise Him. Praise Him. Thank Him. It's clear reference here to the Gospel of John and chapter 10. Look there with me, if you would, John chapter 10. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our God, our Maker. Jesus speaks here about this whole aspect of He being our shepherd. And John, just point out a few verses here from this wonderful chapter of John chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear His voice. And He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. When He puts forth all His own, He goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow Him because they know His voice. Do you know the voice of the shepherd? If you do, you follow Him. And though you may struggle, and though you may waver in your faith, yet you keep your eyes on Him and you keep coming back to Him to be built up in the faith even when you struggle, and you go back to Christ because you hear His voice and you want to hear His voice and you want to keep following Him, and you do. What did Jesus say here in verses 14 through 16? I am what? The good shepherd. And I know my own, and my own know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And a little farther in the chapter, those verses that are so familiar to us. Verse 27, my sheep, Jesus said, my sheep, what? Hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me, and I will give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my hand, out of the Father's hands. I and the Father are one. Come, let us worship and bow down. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Praise God for that tonight. Christ is our great and good shepherd. We're led by His hand into green pastures. The Lord is what? My shepherd. I shall not want. By Him we are protected, we're guided, we're cared for, we're provided for. To His praise, to His honor and glory, devoted to our shepherd as His peculiar people, a holy nation, and thus to Him be glory in the church throughout all ages, forever and ever. Amen. Tempted to unbelief? Struggling to trust God sometimes? Hear the call to worship, my friends, my brethren, tonight. Come, worship, bow down together, let's be built up in the faith, and then just briefly, as we close out this evening, a strong, stern warning. And we don't have the time to develop it all, but remember, this I think will also help us as believers to combat the temptation to not trust God. Remember that unbelief is a serious sin. It's serious to not trust God. Do you bow to Him? Here the psalmist reminds us of that generation in the wilderness who rebelled against God in their unbelief at Meribah and Massah. They did not bow. They did not trust God. They did not believe God. They tested Him. They grumbled and they complained. And as you read those words there in Psalm 95, the end of that chapter, it's serious. God loathed them, it says. They proved not to be a sheep because they didn't hear Him. Today, my friends that are gathered here tonight, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Do not harden your heart in unbelief. You can't soften your heart, but you can harden it. Believe God. Trust Him. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus so that when you enter into the doors of this sanctuary from week to week on the Lord's Day, you can truly enter into worship. Over and over again. It's serious. Hebrews 3 and 4. We won't read it, but again and again, the writer of Hebrews says, today, if you hear His voice, take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God, but encourage one another day after day. Today, if you hear His voice, He comes back at it again. And again in chapter 4, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. And as you hear the Word, it must be mixed with faith. Hebrews 4 and verse 2. Believe God. Trust Him. Today says nothing of tomorrow. But it speaks of today. 2 Thessalonians in the first chapter, the second part of verse 7, 2 Thessalonians 1, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power when He comes to be glorified in His saints on that day and to be marveled at among all who have what? Believed. For our testimony to you was believed. To this end also we pray for you always that our God will count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus will be glorified in you and you in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, if you hear, do not harden your hearts. Today is the day of salvation, the most important aspect of faith, the very beginning place of faith in the living God, is to come to the obedience of the gospel of Jesus Christ. To know and admit before a holy God that you are unholy, that you are undone, that you are a sinner, and you need a Savior. And come, and you can come to Him. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it this day, the day of salvation. You may not have tomorrow. Young people, children and young people die. Don't sit here and say, well, when I get to be 20 or 30 and I'm married, and I'll think about it. No. Do not harden your hearts. Today is the day of salvation. Jesus is saying today, yet, come unto me, all ye that are weary of your sin and your shame, and heavy laden. Jesus says, come unto me and I will give you rest. Rest for your souls. Forgiveness through the precious blood that He shed for you. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Struggling with faith, with trusting, with believing God. Heed the call to worship. Heed the most important call, the beginning call to worship. To come to Jesus, to be rescued from your sin and shame. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, tonight, You are the God who sees every heart here. And everything is open and laid bare before You, to whom we must give an account. Father, forgive us, we pray, for our serious sins of unbelief, of not trusting You as we should. We would confess our sins to You, Lord, in that regard tonight. And You know the situations that each of us are facing, Lord, whatever it is that's going on right now in our hearts and lives, in our families, our situations that we're in, where it's been hard. We confess with that, Father, many years ago, we do believe, help Thou our unbelief. Thank You for the help You've given us tonight in reminding us of who You are and our covenant relationship with You through the blood of Your Son, Father, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Gave His life for us. Strengthen my brothers and sisters in Christ here. Help us to continue to encourage one another. And all the more as we see the day of Your coming approach. And yet, Father, we thank You as well for this stern warning. Father, You know each heart here. The Lord, the Scripture declares, Lord, You know them that are Yours, and there are some here yet that are yet outside the ark of safety. Holy Spirit of God, we pray that You would awaken their souls even this night. That they would repent and believe the gospel on this day that You've given us, the day of salvation. Help us all to examine our hearts this evening hour, to turn to You and to trust You. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.